So I've actually mentioned the song I'm doing today in my last pitch because I was talking about songs that have gotten me through the end times, and it's Physical by Dua Lipa and this, which is Dying Song by Montaigne.
What about Wonderwall, though, Tansy? Hasn't that been getting you through?
Look, today I did not listen to Wonderwall because I fucking hate that song.
Yeah, I nearly listened to Wonderwall today because it was on my Spotify on repeat playlist because I had to listen to it umpteen ba-fucking-zillion times.
Truly, this podcast has ruined all of our Spotify recommendations.
Yeah.
Anyway, here's Pierce. I'm on the podcast as well.
I literally was about to introduce you by being like, well, surely it hasn't ruined Pierce's Spotify. But no,
No.
you had to make it about you, didn't you, Pierce?
Yeah. In the classic Wonderwall fashion of the white guy at the party being like, now we're focusing on me.
Anyway, here's Pierce.
Yes.
Anyway, here's the dying song.
Wonder Pierce.
Yeah. Oh, that's so nice now. I really like that. Wonder Pierce. It's like Wonder Woman, but finally something for the men.
I picked up the sword that you gave me today. Took your blessing and then I made my way. Hoped the first challenge would be easy. Oh, great deck of tree, would you please me? All the heartless are on my blood. All of the gods wanna spit me out as cut. If I don't make it out alive, at least I'll see my undead wife. What if I only got a single life? What if I trip a fool upon my knife? What if the world is meant for doom? Sing this tune.
Should have made Pierce the prince in Wonderwall instead of
Greg
from Succession.
So we're doing Wonderwall today, Tansy.
Yeah, apparently we're now doing Wonderwall 2.0.
This podcast is now Groundhog Day, but
Groundhog
Wonderwall
Day,
bitch.
but it's today is going to be the day that I've got to throw it back to.
One day you'll have to do Wonderwall and All Star and all the meme songs.
We've
But
done
until that day,
we just
bitch.
Did Wonderwall. That's the episode that went up
so time
last
has no
week.
meaning.
Okay, I haven't looked at my podcast catcher lately, so I feel I'm a bad fan of the show that I'm currently on.
Get the fuck out of here.
What a
Wonderwall,
dick.
Oasis, Pitcher, 59 minutes. I might download this and listen to it. Guys, I've got to go. I've got something on now. It's this
Listen to
podcast.
This thing. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Pitch Shift. I am Charles.
I'm Tansy.
I'm Pierce again.
And this is a podcast.
Pierce still.
This is a podcast where we take a song and pitch a movie based on that song. And one of us has ideas and the other people contribute creatively, like a producer, which is to varying effect, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sometimes we just say, okay.
Yeah, and sometimes we say no.
Or sometimes we say, hey, you actually elevated that song, and then and Charles sheds a single tear of pride.
Charles remains riding high on the one piece of approval I have given him in the 50 plus episodes of this
It's seriously,
podcast.
I keep it keeps like coming back to me that I'm like, oh, remember when Tansy said
I've never heard a no on this podcast. I've heard a like, oh no, a lot of times,
I
generally.
suppose an oh no is a version of no.
Well, no, it's more a I can't believe you've done this than a don't
Oh,
do this.
fuck.
Yeah, I think this podcast trends towards I can't believe you've done this, but that is not a refusal of doing that in the first place.
Well, hopefully there'll be no no's in this
Yeah, I was
pitch.
going to
Yeah.
say, is this going to be an I can't believe you've done this pitch or
No, this
a can't believe
is.
you haven't done this before pitch?
I think this is actually it's a good companion piece to Wonderwall, which Pierce hasn't
Oh,
listened to
nice.
because he's a bad friend.
Yeah,
But
fuck Pierce.
fuck that guy.
Get him off the call. No, bring Pierce back. I'll fuck him up.
All right,
Anyway.
so yeah, basically I was going to do Shrike by Hozier. I was going to do like a really dark, upsetting, like horror murder film. And then this week happened and I was just like, let's do something nice. So this is a post-apocalyptic medieval comedy adventure about a bard who accidentally becomes a chosen one.
Amazing.
Good.
That's our...
I want it to happen in the same universe as Wonderwall.
Well, I mean, it could, because it's very much Australia. Because I figured, why not? Why not do? We don't do enough, like, Australian medieval stuff, so...
I'm retconning.
I'm retconning Wonderwall to have been
in
also
this universe.
Future dystopian medieval.
Yeah, because this is like this
vibe.
Is an aesthetic that I've wanted to use for something and never quite had the right project. But basically, I think when we inevitably destroy our current society, we will rebuild and we will regress, and then in like maybe 1,000 years, we might get back to the Dark Ages. Mm-hmm. So that's when this is set. Like,
yeah. So this is like a Station Eleven. There's, you know, guilds and traveling artists, and but mostly people live in villages with like a blacksmith and stuff.
Yeah. Should we just dive in?
Yes, please.
Let's do it.
Yeah. All right. So we're going to open with a big sort of animated storybook style sequence to really establish what's going on in this world.
Oh, like in the DC movies.
Yeah. Or like in the opening credits to Watchmen, which was essentially a DC movie.
So this is the Zack Snyder cut of Montaigne.
Or in Moana. Like, we could just say it's like in Moana. But it's a big sort of sequence explaining the legend of the two swords, which is that hundreds of years ago, these two swords were forged. And one of them was found by a guy who declared himself the king and is now their king. And he uses the sword for violence to, you know, keep the people down, swords as weapons, that kind of thing. But there was There was another sword that was found by the Chosen One, who is going to use it to cut free the people that the king has enslaved. It's an equal and opposite sword. And the hero's name was Greg.
Yes! Greg's back, baby!
Good.
He was truly a fantastic Greg, but... our narrator explains that Greg promptly ate shit because he ran a finger along the sword to test how sharp it was and then got an infection and died.
Jesus fucking Christ, Greg. Now, is this, are we watching like an animated version of Nicholas Braun
dying
of an infection from the sword?
Because I'm a dumb bitch, I decided at the very last minute to make that sequence animated, so I had actually cast Greg. So maybe we can do like that Loving Vincent style, like rotoscoped animation over actors. Because I want Greg to be played by our favourite boy, Christian Byers.
Ah!
Our truly favouritest of boys.
Truly Australia's Nicholas Braun. And I mean that in a good way. Like,
I was
going to
say...
I wasn't going to call him Australia's Greg, because he's not... a Greg.
It just feels like an insult. It has the timbre of an insult.
But it's not. It's a compliment.
Good at playing pathetic.
So Greg ate shit. The sword, the equal and opposite sword, was lost. And we cut to a tavern with our protagonist, who is a bard. Her name is Jess. And mentally, I'm thinking someone like Jessica Henwick, who was in Game of Thrones and Iron Fist, to like... no favour from either of those shows to her, but I think she's great.
Who was she in Thrones?
She was one of the Sand Snakes.
Yeah. One of the one of the three extremely good actors cast in utterly demeaning roles.
Yeah. And she also had a similarly thankless job in Iron Fist.
But she's not the Sand Snake who
has a bad pussy.
Who has the bad pussy.
No, I think in the text, if you read the books, the Sand Snake she plays has a really good pussy.
I think you'll find that the true bad pussy was the friends we made along the way.
I mean, really, the bad pussy was
the inside
always
of us all along.
Oh no,
was always Bronn of Highgarden.
Oh, I don't like where this has already gone. Normally I take the podcast to these places, but it's gone there without me, and I feel bad about that.
Yeah, so that's our narrator from the opening sequence, and she's now just in a little tavern telling this story She's got a little guitar, and she's probably been playing like what has been the score beneath the opening sequence. Mm-hmm. And this is all just for her a story. It's a popular one. She's not a big fan of it, but she's sort of finishing that one off. And she's like, and they say the sword is still out there, but we all know that Greg ate shit. And there's a little chorus about how Greg ate shit. Mm-hmm. And then she's like, anyway, here's Wonderwall.
Yes. Ah, the tale of the Wonderwall.
The Vervandervervall.
The Vervandervervall.
So she is a travelling bard. She is just making her living, travelling from town to town, doesn't really have any roots or anything like that. But the borders of the kingdom are expanding. And so the kingdom is ruled with an iron fist by the evil king. I haven't named anyone because fuck that. But there's less and less free towns where she can just wander in and earn her money, as she discovers when she goes to her next gig and finds the entire town has been ransacked and burnt to the ground. And she's really? Like, she's like talking to the one remaining person who's like covered in burns. And she's like, oh, I was meant to have some gigs here. Like I really need this job. And the person is like dying of wounds. And she's like, but you know,
would you like a dying song?
I already paid a deposit on the venue.
I could do a song for you while
you're dying. Yeah,
that's service I offer.
Yeah, the dying person's like, just fuck off,
leave me alone.
So wait, the town that has been ransacked by the king or by bandits?
Yeah, by the king. So the king is like just expanding borders, and if you don't side with him and become part of his sort of kingdom, they will just fucking flatten you.
Yeah, right.
So the bard kind of has to go off the beaten track to try and find food/shelter, and she ends up in this big ruined sort of big empty space with the skeletons of buildings. It's all a bit mysterious. She kind of knows where she is. It's called the Fox Fields, and she goes into one of
She
goes into one of these big abandoned buildings, and in there is a sword. And she's like, fuck yeah, this is going to be such a great prop for my next gig. And so, like, gets this massive fuck-off sword, just straps it to her back, keeps walking. I'm imagining, like every movie sword you can ever imagine. I'm talking, like, Excalibur. I'm talking whatever Aragorn's sword was called. I'm talking whatever Henry Cavill's hefting around
called?
In The Witcher.
Look, I wish I actually knew, but I don't. Durandal, what? I think?
That sounds
I was
kind
about
of right.
to be like, what is the point of you?
Yeah, no, that's,
like,
that's
if
very
you can't...
true.
You can't tell me that.
If you can't name
like,
a sword,
like, I know,
what are
you
doing
name a sword,
here?
What's the point of being a nerd? No, I'm fixated on the fact that I feel like I've figured out part of this story, and I don't know if I should posit my best guesses or not.
Oh, please, ruin a pitch. Tansy's always ruined in my pitches.
Well, like, is the Foxfield... like, because when you said the Foxfields, you said this was post-apocalyptic Australia. I presume it's Sydney. I presume it's Fox Studios.
You
and,
could
like,
presume that. You
and
could
that
guess
she's been,
that.
And that she's been wandering around like an actual, like a prop workshop.
You could think that.
Yeah.
You could
maybe
take
that
meaning.
That is where STC lives now.
So anyway, she's found this big fuck-off sword, and she keeps going on her way. She finds another village, which is actually part of the kingdom. It's all being controlled by the king, but she's kind of doing a gig in the pub, and while she's setting up, this other woman approaches her and she's like, do you want to join the revolution? And Jess is like, what? And this other woman's like, the revolution. We're doing a revolution. Do you want to join the revolution? And Jess is like, I think I'm good. And this other woman's like, all right. And goes off and starts handing out pamphlets to other people in the pub. And when Jess starts to sort of sing her song about how Greg ate shit, she brings out the sword at the end, she's like, and they say that this was the sword that he ate shit from. And then starts charging people to hold it. So she's like passing it around, she's like, I'll just go, you know, grab a little cold coin, that kind of thing. And the other woman who tried to get her to join the revolution is like, holy shit, that's the sword. And Jess is like passing it around, just absolutely doesn't give a fuck about it. So after the gig, this other woman comes up and is like, I feel like we got off on the wrong foot. I'm Corinna. I'm from the revolution.
You mentioned.
What is the vibe of this? Is this like someone handing you a flyer for Socialist Alternative?
I'd say it's maybe more like people who are handing out flyers near a train station and they're like, they're very sincere. But you don't have time for this.
Yes, of course.
You're like, haha, yeah, I gotta get it. Oh, no, I gotta go. Oh, sorry, I'm a bit...
I theoretically support the aims and ideals of the revolution, but I need to get to my job. Oh, yeah. Wait!
Yeah, so Corinna's like, that is a magical sword. We need to take it to the rebels. And Jess is like, no, thank you. No, thank you.
Mine.
I don't want to die. And all that the rebels do around here is die. Like, did you see the village that I was at before? No, you didn't, because you're still a fucking live. Also, Corinna, I'm imagining like a Madeline Madden kind of person. Mm-hmm. That night, Jess setting up to stay in the pub, and Corinna's like, I'm a steal that sword. So she goes, she manages to steal it, but in doing so wakes Jess up, and Jess is like, my sword! And then runs after Corinna, and they both manage to run into members of the King's Guard.
So this is classic intra-leftist violence that weakens us for the ultimate goal of fighting the right.
Oh my god.
So even though Jess is very much not a member of the rebellion, she is like identified as one because she's caught with Corinna, and they're like, you're the witch. And she's like, I'm really not a witch. They're like, the witch of the rebellion. And Corinna's like, I'm not in any way, shape or form a witch. But okay.
I would very much like to be excluded from this narrative.
Yeah. So they both get taken to the King's Castle because the King's Guard have seen the sword that Jess has got, and they're like, holy shit, that's that sword. And Jess is like, it's almost definitely not. And they're like, you're part of the revolution, to jail with you. So they get taken to the evil King's Castle, which is, you know, the Novotel in Darling Harbour?
Yes.
Yeah, it's the Novotel in Darling Harbour.
Right.
Fantastic.
Is the International Conference Centre some kind of arena?
I assume so. I hadn't gotten that far, but sure.
It's the Yes, that's the fighting pits.
So Jess gets taken to before the evil king, who is, of course, Mendo.
Yes. Mendo.
And he is trying to work out how the hell Jess managed to get this sword, and Jess is starting to think maybe this is actually, like, this is the sword?
When she was in Foxfields, like, it was just lying around.
Yeah, probably under, like, some rubble.
Mm.
So she's starting to believe that maybe this is the sword, and maybe she needs a bit of Corinna's help to get the fuck out of there. And meanwhile, the king is like, we shall do a public execution.
Is it Mendo, and as usual, just refusing to do an accent.
Oh,
so he is full on Australian.
Yeah, it's a public execution.
Time for a hanging, boys.
Basically.
Mendo, come on the podcast.
Defend yourself.
I'm already on the podcast.
He doesn't need to defend himself. Just come and accept our love.
Accept your fate.
Charles, I'm already here. I've been here the whole time.
Oh my god, it's Ben. Hi, Ben.
I prefer men.
Men Bendelsohn?
Men Bendelsohn.
Also, I prefer men too, Ben.
I've been hearing about this for a while, Charles, and I'm intrigued, frankly. I've played a lot of roles in my time, but I think it's time for the greatest role of all, love. Also, this isn't even a Mendo accent. This is more of a John Jarrett. Or just
and also, so the bit was that you would the bit is that you're Ben Mendelsohn and you're hitting on me? Or just in general open to the idea of men?
Oh, just that Ben Mendelsohn, I think, has come to a time in his life when he's decided to expand his horizons. He's never played. He doesn't tend to play love stories. He doesn't tend to play gay characters. And, you know, maybe it's something
he's spread his in real life.
Yeah. Good on you, Ben Mendelsohn.
Yeah, I think that Ben Mendelsohn, you know, he thinks that he can play anything. This is actually a dark story in which he thinks it's time for me to play a gay role. And after that, well, you know. The world's his oyster. He stars in Ghost in the Shell 2.
How did we get here?
I'm not sure.
Get us back.
So Ben Mendelsohn's like, we're going to do a public execution.
Having a hanging, boys.
And while they're hanging out in the cells, Jess is like, so why is everyone saying you're a witch to Corinna? And Corinna's like, oh, I'm I'm a doctor. Like I do medicine and like electronics and things like I use old technology.
Ah, yes, the olden ways.
But it's better than current technology. And Jess is like, sounds like witchcraft. And Karina's like, oh, for fuck's sake. So anyway, they're about to get publicly executed.
So Karina's read a book.
Karina's read a book.
Yeah, that's some witch shit. Fuck
and
that.
It's implied that in the rebellion stronghold place, there is information and technology that is not available to most. Mm. So witchcraft, of course. So anyway, day of the public execution. Let's have it at the exhibition center arena. Big crowd. Everyone loves a public execution. And the king is like, would you have any last requests? And the bard is like, yeah, can I have my guitar?
The question is, does anyone else have any requests?
Yeah.
Do I hear Wonderwall?
I always wanted to play the ICC, and here I am. Hugh Jackman played here once.
Yeah.
The legends of Hugh Jackman.
The huge jacked man.
The huge jacked man.
Actman.
Huge Actman. He was a Wolverine on the battlefield, and yet a kindly singer off it.
What has it that he put on the greatest show?
So I imagine that like when Jess is like, can I have my guitar? The king would turn to Karina and be like, do you have any last requests that we can do instead? And Karina's like, can I request that we don't get killed? And he's like, get the guitar. So Jess starts to sort of tune up her guitar and starts doing a version of The Dying Song, because we gotta work that in. And it's kind of like you get the sense that it's a bit of a hit, and everyone sort of starts to sing along and, you know, gets into it. And it's enough of a distraction that all of the revolutionaries who've snuck into the crowd are able to rush the stage, rescue Jess and Karina, and take them back to the revolution stronghold.
Wait, I need to cough. I don't know where
that's
that came
disgusting.
From. Yeah, gross. It's really bad. Please cut this from the podcast. That was actually Mendo coughing. Mendo, yeah. In the scene, had a big cough because of his evil smoking that he does in this film. He smokes future cigs. They're just like normal cigs, but more hardcore. They're full of heroin.
Yeah, he got them from Ilan Sleazebagano.
Future cigs just vapes?
He smokes a vape. He vapes. The king vapes in this film. He rips some fucking cherry cotton and he says, down off with their heads. I've taken over this part of the pitch. I'm so sorry. I just the Mendo sometimes flows through me, much as the vape juice flows through Mendo's veins. How is the king reacting to this? I'm only interested in one character now, and it's Mendo.
I'll be honest, he's not having a great time. He is, one might say, having a shit one, because the rebels managed to escape with Jess's sword, the other sword that he thought he, you know, had managed to finally get control of. He was going to be a two-sword dude, you know, one sword each hand.
That's
fly
the
through
one
the
thing
air, firing six shots. Yeah.
That's the one thing I didn't want to happen.
Yeah, basically.
Oh,
but,
no,
I
don't like this at all.
But in the escape, Jess has managed to be quite badly injured in some way. So Karina uses magic to bring her back, by which I mean, like, she just Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction's her, stabs a needle of adrenaline straight into her chest, and everyone's like, magic, the chosen one hath returned. And Karina's like, are you fucking kidding me? But anyway, they all head to the Revolution Stronghold, which is the Conservatorium of Music,
cool.
Because it's a castle. And a lot of the rebels are like, Jess needs to become the figurehead of our rebellion. You know, she's popular, people like her, she's one of the people, she's the chosen one. And Karina's like, I just brought her back from the dead, are you fucking kidding? Who's the chosen one? The one who comes back from the dead? Or the one who can raise people from the dead? And they're all just like, shh, shh. And you get the sense that actually she's not that popular in the revolution.
No one likes a know-it-all, Karina. We've all read a book here in Bookland.
We have many books, and we've all read at least one.
Also, like, that she was just going on about, like, it's not magic, it's, like,
it's
medicine.
Science.
And everyone's, and then now that everyone's like, no, that's not. She's like, no, but it's magic.
Also, I like the idea. It's like, we've all read one book, Corinna. It's like, which book have you read? Oh, I've read The Hunger Games. Which have you read, Corinna? I've read so many books.
Everyone else is like, I also have read The Hunger Games.
We have one copy of The Hunger Games. Everyone, it gets passed around. So anyway, the king, rightly pissed off, starts burning villages, saying that he's going to keep destroying things until Jess surrenders to him and returns his rightful sword, because he wants to have two swords, one sword each hand.
I've got one of these hands full up with sword, the other hand empty as a bird's nest with no eggs in it.
Yeah, this is it's wild that they don't let Mendo do improv anymore.
Yeah, no, Mendo signed onto this film only if he could improvise all of his dialogue. They're like, yeah, okay, but just, like, read the script first. He's like, no, I don't even want to know what it's about.
I'm a two-hand boy, he keeps shouting.
He's, yeah, like, he's going, he's like, if I'm not double-fisting these swords.
Right now, I'm single-fisting. By the end of this week, I want to be double-fisting. And I will burn this entire country to the ground if I am not double-fisting by the end of this week. People of the kingdom, you have one job. Let me double-fist.
Cut to, I assume, like, a relatively well-respected director dealing with this shit.
Yeah, this is one of those films where you buy the Blu-ray because you really want to see the behind the scenes.
So, he's going to keep destroying things until he's double fisting, and the rebellion are like, but we can't.
Oh, same. All I want to do is break stuff. Until. I get what I came for.
So, Jess is healing up in the rebellion stronghold. And everyone's, like, arguing over whether or not they're going to send her and the sword back to the king. And she's like, it's cool how I have no say in this.
So aren't they the revolution?
Yeah, rebellion, revolution. I've used
No. I mean, they're opposed to the king. Why would they ever do something nice for the king?
Because he's going to keep destroying shit until...
Oh, it's one of those compromises that you sometimes have to wait.
You know, when you negotiate with terrorists.
Yeah, no, I love that.
Yeah. While she's hiding out in the stronghold, Jess finds an old book that's got lots of swords in it. And she's like, sick, I got a sword. I'm going to read this book. And she keeps flicking through the book until she gets to a page with her sword. And she's like, that's my sword. So she takes it to Corinna.
I have that.
So she takes the book to Corinna and is like, you can read. What does it say about my sword? And Corinna's like, it says it's a prop.
Jess can't read?
Jess can't read.
So she was just looking at the book. She wasn't reading it.
Yeah. Yeah, she wanted to look at sick pictures of swords. Who doesn't?
Don't we all?
While everyone else was busy being heterosexual and reading, she was studying the blade. So Corinna starts to read the information about Jess's sword, which reveals it was a prop from a movie.
Yes, yes. This guy fucking nailed it. Fox fucking Studios. I called it. I'm so good at movies.
Well done.
Well done, you get a called it point.
Well done, Ben. We're very proud of you, Ben.
It cuts to the king at that point being like, called it.
No, that's awesome. I'm sure there's a lot more to come.
Yeah, so there's a moment of like, oh no, it turns out that everything we pinned our hopes to was a prop from a movie, and also they find the king's sword within that too. And Corinna's like, but that means that his sword is also just bullshit. Like,
I was gonna say,
everyone's addicted to the symbolism. They're all like, ooh, sword, power. What can he actually do with it apart from stab a few cunts?
Like, well, this is my question.
I was gonna say, if it's a prop sword, surely it can't even do that. Like,
did she early on, and I suppose that this is a question I meant to ask, but I didn't want to immediately spoil things, like, did she test the edge and discover that it is not sharp?
No, I'm imagining, like, the sword, because it's been a few hundred years, someone's probably sharpened that sword at some point. And also, if she is testing the edge, I imagine that she, like, tests it on a piece of fruit or something. She's like, I'm not gonna eat shit like Greg.
Yeah, exactly. There is some eating shit things set up.
Yeah. Yeah, so after, cool, like, the initial moment of, like, damn, we all fell for symbolism, suddenly Jess is like, well, if everyone's fallen from symbolism, why don't we do some symbolism, and like flicks to another page in this Book of Swords and is like, we need to go to Foxfields. So you see Corinna and Jess sneaking out, going back to Foxfields, searching for this mythical other weapon that Jess is certain is going to turn the tide in this war. And you see Corinna having to do some like really jerry-rigged kind of work with some electronics, and you're not quite sure what's going on. And Jess like appears at the meeting of all of the rebels and is like, I'm giving him back the sword. And all the rebels are like, you sure you want to do that? And Jess is like, you just got to trust me, because this is just a sword and I've got a full-on plan. So you get meeting on an empty field of battle, probably the foreshore of the Opera House, if we really want those sweet, sweet tourism dollars.
Nice.
The king and Jess. And Jess hands him the sword. And the king's like, oh, is that it? And Jess is like, yeah, I guess that's it. I thought this would be like a bigger moment. I thought we were going to like fight or something. And the king's like, do you want to fight? And Jess is like, well, I mean, we could fight.
No, not really.
But then Jess points out that he's brought all of his soldiers to witness this symbolic sword handing over, and he's left his own castle and lands undefended. So you see that at this point, the rebels are taking over all of those areas. They're going in, they're taking out the guards, they're freeing all of the prisoners, slaves, that kind of thing. There's a battle sequence. I could never be bothered actually writing them out.
That's fair. I mean, it's hard to do in this medium.
Yeah. So the king is like, fuck you, I've got both swords. Like, this is... It doesn't matter what you take back. Everyone's going to follow me because I have these swords. And Jess
Say
is like...
It.
I got two
Say
fists,
it.
Two swords.
I'm double fisting. What have you got? Nothing. You're zero fisting.
Zero fisting.
You're... Jess, you're not fisting at all.
And Jess is like, no, but I have this. And pulls out a lightsaber prop. And lights it.
Oh my god.
And to these like weird symbolism addicted post-apocalyptic medieval peasant guard like army, everyone, they're just like, holy shit, because it looks like a real
She's
lightsaber to them. Like it
have
looks
they, have,
like
have they been telling the story of Star Wars in their little villages?
Probably not, I'm gonna say. Or, okay. Like, it's just, like, the sheer technology of, like, oh my god, that is sword made of light.
It's a magic sword. Cool.
It's a magic sword.
I was gonna say you could, like, bring it in if, like, the book that they'd all read wasn't The Hunger Games, but, like, a shitty Star Wars novelization.
It was a visual dictionary.
The one text that they had was Splinter of the Mind's Eye.
Oh my god. One of the worst Star Wars books.
I don't think I know that one.
It was when George Lucas didn't know if he'd get to do a sequel, he commissioned Alan Foster Dean to write something that they could use as a sequel. And it's like, it's just Luke and Leia on a swamp somewhere, occasionally seeing a Vader ghost. And also Luke is a bit horny for Leia.
Oh yeah, it's full on like Luke Leia fanfic.
Yeah.
Sick one.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So anyway, Jess has got her sick lightsaber, swings that at the king, turns into a sick sword fight between a lightsaber and sword double fisting. And the problem is, though, it's a prop lightsaber. It's made of glass. So when he goes to, like, parry a blow, it breaks and a bit of glass gets in his eye. Because humans are fucking fallible. So he starts bleeding out the eye, and Jess is like, okay. Grabs one of the other swords, stabs him, defeats him. They got the castle and the kingdom, and the king is dead. Big, happy ending kind of thing. And you see...
I love that, like, the failure of the sword doesn't backfire for her. It just continues to go badly for him.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is great. Like, well, Jess is a character that has constantly been failing forward. So I think that this is the ultimate conclusion.
Truly the Jar Jar Binks.
The Jess Binks.
Oh, Misa breaks sword.
Just like wandering around
Misa
with a
like guitar.
Misa
anyway,
taking
here's
requests.
A Wonderwall. So the rebels take back all of the lands. There's no more king. He's dead. They're all in the Sydney Novotel ruins. And one of the and the rebel leaders are like, Jess, you're our new king. And Jess is like, oh, that's a cycle that's not going to end. Well,
no,
maybe.
Thanks.
So she's like, maybe Corinna should be your king. And Corinna's like, no, fuck off. We shouldn't have kings. How are you struggling with this part? Like, you're so close to being right here. Like, we definitely don't have kings anymore. Probably a bit of bickering over the fade out, abrupt kind of ending, just like Hobbs and Shaw. And that is the end of the film.
Just like Hobbs and Shaw.
Just like Hobbs.
Any film that ends abruptly and with bickering is just like Hobbs and Shaw.
Yeah. That's what they teach in screenwriting classes.
I mean, the only thing that would make Hobbs and Shaw better would be Ben Mendelsohn, so...
Hobbs and Shaw too.
There is a mysterious, as yet uncast, senior villain in the Hobbs and Shawniverse. So, you know...
The Hobbs and Shawniverse.
Yeah, I was hoping I could slip that in there.
Yeah, so that's the dying song. That's... And because The Dying Song is, like, a pretty downer title for what is basically a comedy, I was thinking the film could be called Bad Times. That's the film.
I would toss a coin to this film.
Hey, this film was largely inspired by the fact that The Witcher is a wasted opportunity.
Because, well, the Bard is the best character, right?
Yeah.
Like, Daffodil is the best character by far.
Yeah.
And the rest of it is pretty weird, I've
See,
got to say.
It tries to be serious and time jumpy, and it's like, no, give me more of your angry monster hunter who literally can't tire but rides a horse and makes the Bard walk. Like, that's a much more interesting storyline.
I do not fathom why people write a perfectly reasonable story and then are like, you know what this needs to really kick it over the edge? A needlessly complicated structural gimmick. It's bad stuff. It's not good stuff.
It is not. But at the moment, I bleached my hair yesterday, so I have that crisp Witcher hair.
You got that Witcher hair?
Mm-hmm. Should we do Shuffle Round?
Hell sure. Yeah. Love me some Montaigne.
Yep. Let's start off with Ready.
I don't know if I know that one.
I guess I'm frustrated thinking about all the places I should have been by.
Okay, this is a very simple idea.
That's okay.
And I've just decided that I'm gonna kind of go with the general, future medieval,
the future nostalgia.
Yeah, the future nostalgia, the dystopian medieval western vibe.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so because the lyrics are like, you know, I'm frustrated thinking about all the places I should have been by now. So instead of being like woman approaching Hollywood version of middle age decides to go eat, pray, love for a year kind of vibe, it's a similar thing of like, I'm like 24, which is in the future times middle age, because we regress. Mm-hmm. You know,
is she gonna go like, eat sleigh, love?
Eat sleigh. Well, yeah. So basically, what I would want it to be is like with the tone of Eat, Pray, Love, but it's like medieval hellscape, finding your lust for life again by like fighting monsters.
Fight monsters.
Sick.
Yeah,
I like it. It's a vibe.
Yeah, it's literally like doing battle all the time, but like doing battle to like the kind of like, you know, twinkly indie music kind of patina that goes with a lot of those like wanderlust kind of.
Oh, absolutely, because this is directed by Cameron Crowe.
Yeah,
there is in fact a manic pixie dream girl, but it's a fae.
It's a literal pixie.
Yeah, it's a literal pixie fae fairy that they have to fight like in the end.
Yeah. And, like, less of a dream, much more of a nightmare.
Yeah.
All right.
So that's
Should
that one.
We go on to Glorious Heights?
Piers, you wanna go, or...?
Sure, I would love to go.
You wanna turn on the shuffle round, Piers?
Yes, I have two ideas. One of them is bad, so I'm not going to say it. The other of which is
worse.
Oh, I
want the bad one.
Oh, the bad... Well, the bad one is just a Mendo origin story.
Ah! Yes! How could you think that that's bad?
No, okay, no, okay, here it is, here it is. We are going to do this. It's a Mendo origin story. I'm combining the two ideas into a mecha idea. They're connected. They're connecting like Voltrons. A Mendo mecha. So Mendo. Mendo, we see Mendo in the before times. Maybe this is an ancestor of Mendo. Maybe he finds long leafy juice. I don't know. Mendo is a circus performer. He is a...
Is he a sword swallower?
He is not. He's the clown. And you know when you go to a Cirque du Soleil and everything in it is good and then the clown comes on and you're like, shut the fuck up. That is his life. He does not have any skills. He is not good at he always looks at the other circus performers and he's like, if only I could do flips. If only I was fit in any way. If only I could swallow swords. If only I could do, you know, the trapeze. If only I could climb such glorious heights. But he's extremely... In this world, Mendo is short. We do some Captain America CGI to make Mendo extremely short.
Do some Lord of the Rings tilted rooms.
Yeah. Not like he's just shorter than Mendo is currently. He is a normal height, but I'm short, but I'm like average levels of short. And he feels bad about it because masculinity reasons. And all the other circus performers are like, you pathetic little man. you're not even good at the flips.
Why are they French all of a sudden?
Because it's Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, right.
They're not French all of a sudden. They've been French since the beginning.
And Mendo's just like, oh, ho, ho.
Yeah. He goes, oh, oh, oh.
I am le clown.
Je ne sais quoi.
Yeah, so there's a certain je ne sais quoi.
Le clown.
Total, I know we're on a time limit, but I saw a tweet the other day that was like, it has a certain how you say Jojo Siwa, and I can't stop thinking about it.
So I think Mendo, this then spirals into a sort of elaborate tragedy farce situation where Mendo sabotages a series of the circus acts to get back at these people. He does not expect it to go badly. It does. Someone probably dies or gets horrifically injured. He just wanted to make them look bad and he's like, oh
no. But he likes the darkness.
But he does like the darkness. He has a low pain threshold though, so he doesn't want to like fight. But then the show gets more and more about him because he's the only one who isn't injured. And so instead of it being like actual feats, it's him like pretending to do stuff with like gimmickry and acting. And so, yeah, he sort of pulls out this prop sword and he's like, oh, watch as I cut myself on this. Oh no. And it's just special effects. He's not actually good at anything. But then the world ends for other reasons. And we see that he is perfectly positioned to parlay his skill set into a kind of rise to villainy. So yeah, right. that's Glorious Heights.
That's how he becomes
quite glorious.
The double fisting king.
That's how he became. And that's who I became.
King Double Fist.
Yes. King. Yes. King Fisto.
Yes. King Fisto.
Where can people find more of you boys and garbage that you produce?
Pierce, here you go.
Oh, all right. I am at Pierce Indeed. Pierce like the word, Indeed like also the word on Twitter.
Yeah.
Some people spell it wrong and it's a shame for them. Yeah, so follow me. I don't tweet much, but I'll tweet about this episode. And then again, we'll get trapped in a time loop. And maybe I'll tweet about the Wonderwall one because I haven't listened to it.
Yeah, I should. It was really fucking good, Pierce.
It was.
Yeah, well, it was no King Fisto, but, you know, the bar's been set now.
the king in mine was played by Christopher Plummer, so...
Ooh, fancy boy. Yeah.
How about you, Charlie?
Oh, yeah, me. I am also on Twitter at GarlsOChady. You can find me on Letterboxd at, like, CharlieOG. I don't have anything else coming up, so there's nowhere else you can find me. What about you, Tansy? Where can people find you?
Crying. I am on Twitter. I'm Tansy Clipboard there. And you can get, if you follow me, you can get a free Scooby-Doo fan fiction script, I guess.
You can get the precursor to Scoob.
Yeah.
From Tansy.
Yeah.
Before there was Scoob.
I'd like to think it's better than Scoob.
Yeah, that's why I was...
Does it feature one of the characters being left in hell?
No.
Well then, yeah.
Scoob. We need to properly discuss Scoob. Yeah, I'm also on Letterboxd. You can find that through my Twitter. And I think we need to launch a Patreon, boys, because people are going to toss a coin to their picture.
All right.
I'm going to stop the show now.
No, that's actually good.
Stay fisty, guys.
As we all know, it's been me. It's been I Prefer Man Manderson.
This podcast is recorded on the lands of the Wurundjeri, Wiradjuri and Boonwurrung people. Sovereignty was never ceded, and this always was and always will be Aboriginal land.